This morning for the 7 a.m. Mass, the main street was flooded and LaSalle Street worse, and the reader for the Mass got her car stuck in the water and flooded in the water, but she found somebody to bring her here to church, and she was determined to read, and she did and found a ride back. Her car, unfortunately, was totaled. So you don't have to go to that kind of length to come to Mass, but definitely inspired by her dedication. And it's kind of warm in here, so we had a relatively short Mass, about 25 minutes. So I said, but don't pray for a flood every Sunday so y'all can get out of Mass early, all right? Well, our God is an on-time God. I've always been looking for stories for my Sunday homilies, and sometimes I'm still scrounging around on Saturday morning for a story. And being very timely in the mail on Saturday morning was the Acadiana Catholic, and there was an article in there by my nephew, Matthew Voorhees Spezzali, who works for the Family Missions Company. And the article was about the founders of the Family Missions Company, Frank and Jeannie Summers, who are celebrating 20 years of the founding of that teaching missionary company. And it talked about how Frank and Jeannie, the adventure of their life, and that's what I was looking for, some story about an adventure, about two people walking on the road of life together. And they certainly have had a very interesting life. Jeannie wrote the book, Go, You Are Sent, about their call to missions, and then they have a second book now, Our Family's Book of Acts, and how they have been around the world preaching the gospel. Well, Jeannie was Miss Abbeville, and a very popular person, went to LSU and promptly got pregnant out of wedlock, not with her future husband. And this young man brought her to an abortion clinic, and she refused. She said, take me home, I cannot do it. So she eventually went back to Abbeville and had the child, and the child was adopted. And then her high school crush started dating her, Frank Summers, and they eventually eloped and had their marriage blessed pretty soon after the civil wedding. And he went to law school, and at that time they both stopped going to church. And they were drinking and partying and fighting and jealous of other people around their spouse. And thoughts of divorce started to creep into their minds. She went to see a counselor. He went to see the priest that had married them. And they both had a powerful conversion experience. They got involved in the Charismatic Renewal, which this year we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal in the United States. We can say the modern day, because the original is Pentecost, right? We've always been celebrating that. But kind of that renewal of the outpouring of these gifts of speaking in tongues and so forth at a retreat in Pittsburgh in 1967. So they were moved by that and felt the call to go out into the missions in the Indonesia, the Philippines first, and then all sorts of other countries. And they had seven children, and most of them were born in foreign countries. And as they got older, they realized that they weren't going to be able to keep going on all these mission trips. So they said, let's teach other families how to do this. So right now they have about over 200 missionaries around the world, various countries, who are serving the poor, spreading the gospel, and sometimes it's their families. Sometimes it's the young children that are the best missionaries. Frank and Jeannie indeed had a special needs child. I think it's Jean-Paul or Jean-Pierre. And he was the best missionary of all. He had no problem walking into a crowd of people that didn't speak his language and he didn't speak their language, and he'd say, hi, I'm Jean-Paul, what's your name? And it would be a big icebreaker, and they would be able to break into that community. So sometimes the children are the best. But Jeannie said in her second book that Jesus scooped her and her husband up and saved our marriage, and he propelled us to an awesome adventure with him. And so it made me think of that road to Emmaus, of these two disciples post-resurrection of the Lord, walking to Emmaus, still not quite sure what had happened, downcast, and then Jesus steps into their life as the risen Lord and totally turns them around, as he did for Frank and Jeannie. And so Jesus is walking with us too in our journey of life. And he wants us to ask that question that they asked, Lord, stay with us. And he's a gentleman, he's not gonna force his life into ours, but he's knocking at the door of our heart. And so we have to say, come in, Lord, stay with me, stay with us. And if you listen closely to our Bible readings, they all spoke about the pathway, the journey, right? Psalm 16, King David is prophesying ultimately about Jesus, saying that my soul will not corrupt, right? So Jesus didn't, his soul didn't corrupt, his body didn't corrupt for sure in the tomb. And he said, you will show me the path to life, the pathway of life. And St. Peter in the Acts of the Apostles, first reading today, quotes Psalm 16 and applies it to Jesus, saying it's through the death and resurrection of Jesus our Lord that we have been given this path to life. And in his letter, our second reading today, he says, conduct yourselves with reverence during the time of your sojourning in this life. And then, of course, the gospel, which is so beautiful, and only in the gospel of Luke, which has led some scripture scholars to say that one of those two disciples was Luke himself. And then we have the name of Cleopas there. If he's the same one mentioned in scripture elsewhere, he's the father then of Saints James and John. But Jesus walks with them. He interprets the scripture for them. Their hearts are burning within them. And so we too should be studying the scriptures and listening to the word attentively at Mass as well, so that our hearts can burn, because it is the truth. And the truth pierces right to the heart and gives us life. But it's only when he breaks the bread that their eyes were open and they could recognize Jesus in their midst. And so Jesus wants to show them and us how he's going to be with us, especially after he ascends into heaven. And he's not going to be seen like that, at least as often as he was then during those 40 days. So Jesus shows us that he is with us. Remember, he said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. And here we are, a lot more than two or three together. So Jesus is present within you, the congregation. Jesus is also present within the priest who is ordained to stand in for Jesus, the groom, to his bride, the church. Jesus is speaking to us in the scriptures that are proclaimed at every Mass, right? And our hearts hopefully burn within us. And then our eyes are open as we see Jesus here in the Blessed Sacrament, in the breaking of the bread, Jesus' life broken for us so that our sins could be forgiven. Now, you could experience all four of these ways separately. You could be two people praying in a house together. You could go visit the priest in the rectory. You can read the Word of God on your own. You can go into the hospital chapel 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, adore our Lord, visibly present there in the Blessed Sacrament. But the only time that all four of these ways are present together is in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, right? We're gathered together, the Word is proclaimed, the priest is there, and we have the breaking of the bread. And so Jesus wants us to see that this is the most powerful way that he is with us. And he walks with us in the journey of our life, in the midst of the ups and the downs of our lives. He is with us in the midst of floods and whatever happens to you. The Lord is with you. You need not fear. Just invite him in more powerfully into your life. Pope Francis, speaking about this, said, the road to Emmaus becomes a symbol of the journey of faith. The scriptures and the Eucharist are the indispensable elements for encountering the Lord. So he says, come to the Mass every Sunday and experience the risen Lord. Let me conclude with a little poem about this gospel. Two travelers left Jerusalem, their deepest hope unrealized. They thought life had been snatched away, but life was there, unrecognized. The two had clues that God was near. They spoke their anguish and were heard. And when the stranger turned to speak, it was a living, burning word. And there were signs of hope renewed by nightfall that first Easter day. The two encountered such delight, they importuned delight to stay. The stranger stayed to share a meal. This one they thought was 3 days dead. And here at last they recognized Christ in the breaking of the bread. Christ in the breaking of the bread. So let us invite Jesus tonight to stay with us, Lord, The evening is almost here. The day is almost over. Amen.